Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Let's grab our Bible, something to take notes with today. We're finishing our series on the pathway to promotion. The pathway to promotion. If you haven't been with us, you can go to our website and get all three sessions free on our website. But today is the final four. It's the final four. And by the way, today is Pentecost Sunday. Some of you don't know what that is, but that's huge. That's 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days after 50 Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit was poured out. So I just pray there will be a renewal of the Holy Spirit poured out in your house and in my house in Jesus' name. So the pathway to promotion, and we know that Psalm 75, it says that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. Well, there's only one direction left. It must come from the north. The Bible teaches us that the planet heaven is in the northern part of the universe. Northern part of the universe. But notice in Psalm 75, it says promotion doesn't come from the east, west, or south. North is left out. But it says promotion comes from the Lord. It says he sets one up and brings another one down. The good news is when God promotes us, man cannot demote us. When God places you in a position, man cannot remove you from that position. So we want the promotion that comes from the Lord. Can I have a good amen? I don't want man to promote me. I want God to promote me. And so do you. Why this series? And I've given you several reasons throughout the last 4 weeks, is that a lot of people are confused right now. They don't know who they are. They're struggling. They're frustrated. They're anxious. They're worried. They're comparing. They're insecure. They're angry. They're mad. They're upset. They're suicidal. You know, I believe in social media. I mean, you can look around at Church on the Rock. I mean, we have electric charging stations for electric cars in our parking lot. We, you know, high tech, everything, iPads, computers, Wi-Fi, all that we do, online campus. I've already this year sent our team to two different conferences on social media, on technology. We just hired a lady to be our marketing director to help us with social media. I believe in technology. I have two more conferences yet this year. I'm sending part of our team to technical seminars and conferences. I believe that if the Apostle Paul was alive, he would be using social media for the gospel. I believe in all of that, computers, iPads, iPhones. I believe in all of that if it's used to build the church, used to build the kingdom of God. I'm not liking it for pornography. I'm not liking it for intrusion. I'm not liking it for distraction. I'm not liking it because so many teenagers go on there, and even adults, and compare. Who's at this place for a vacation? Who's that? Who really cares where you are? I don't really care where you are on vacation. Come on, I'm old school, but you know, when that came out and people started posting pictures of this, that, and the other, it's distraction. It causes people to compare, compete, be jealous, be envious. Feel like if I can't do what you do or have what you have or be where you are, I'm insignificant. I'm a nobody. I don't count. I don't matter. Shoot myself. Snort myself out of this world. It's happening. More suicide and depression on the planet than in my lifetime. Check it out. And they say it's because of social media. So I gave the disclaimer. I mean, we're into it. We're spending loads of money every month for technology. But I want to be used for the good because I see the bad that it's doing in corroding our culture, in destroying our culture, destroying lives. more depression, more addiction. Years ago, we never heard of a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. But I started it because I saw the need, especially during COVID, the need for wellness. And as your pastor, I want you well, spirit, soul, and body. Okay. So because of that, that's why we would teach a series on discovering your gift, discovering that you're unique, discovering that you're authentic, discovering that you're special, discovering that you don't need to compare yourself or compete with other people. The best compete with themselves, not with others. What do you mean, Pastor? They just work on every day, become a better version of who they were created to be. The Bible says you're created in the image of God. The Bible says you are God's workmanship. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I like what that old saying is, God don't make junk. Amen, everybody? So that's why this series, so much depression, so much envy, so much jealousy, so much attack all over social media. Because I can't have what you have, or you can't have what they have, or we can't go there, we can't do that, or they got more than we have. It's really sad. So that's why I've taught this series to uplift, encourage, empower, for you to find out who you are and why you're here. Is that all right with everybody? Okay, so if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get into it. So the pathway to promotion is this. It's not in my DNA. It's not the color of my skin. It's not my economic status or IQ, EQ. It's discovering your gift and serving God and other people with it. That's the key. Discovering your God-given gift. And we found that already, every believer has a gift. Every believer has a calling. Every believer has a purpose. Every believer has an assignment on their life. And your gift will reveal to you what your calling is. So you're discovering your gift and then serving God and other people with it. That's the pathway to success. So let's look at a scripture to substantiate that. Proverbs 18:16. A man or a woman's gift, not the color of their skin, not their DNA, Not their background, but a man or woman's gift makes room for you, takes you to new levels, takes you to new territory. It will enlarge your life. It will give you happiness. It will give you fulfillment, and it will give you influence in your world. A man or woman's gift makes room for them and will bring you, that's promotion, that's elevation, that's increase, bring you before great men and women. And the dream you have from God, you know it's from God because it's bigger than you. The dream you have, the call you have, I'll say call, you have on your life is bigger than you. You need God to pull it off. And you need other people in your life to pull it off. I couldn't do what I'm doing without you. Six amens. You don't believe that? Please believe that. I could not do what I'm doing without you. You are important. Every single one of you, every single one that comes through this church in a month, over 6,000 different people in a month, over 6,000 different people in a month, not all here on a weekend, but in a month. And all of you are important, and I need you to do what God called Church on the Rock to do in St. Louis. But your gift will make room for you and will cause you to be promoted before the right people when you're seen by the right person at the right time, doing the right thing, promotion comes. Okay? So let me give you this scripture. I haven't given it to you. This is awesome. Proverbs 22:29. If you are uniquely what? I can't hear you. If you are uniquely gifted in your work, then you will rise and you will be promoted. You won't be held back. You will stand before kings. So why has Pastor taught this for 4 weeks? Because I want you to know you're uniquely gifted And when you find out what that gift is, you'll find the right career. And when you're in the right career that matches your gift, you will rise and be promoted. And nobody can hold you down or hold you back from the call of God on your life but you. Ooh, I like it. If you are uniquely gifted in your work, you will rise and you will be promoted. You won't be held back. You will stand before kings. Romans 11:29, for the gifts, can you say that with me, gifts? And calling, can you say that, calling? And the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He never takes them back. But sequence, most Christians miss this. Sequence, gifts come before calling. So if you know your gift, you'll know your calling. And if you walk in your calling, you'll be promoted. And when you're being promoted and you're increasing and rising to the top, you're the head, not the tail. And then you have happiness, fulfillment, and influence with your life. Oh, praise God. Romans 12:6, having given you this scripture, having then gifts, who's he talking to? The church at Rome or the church at St. Peter's? Having then gifts, all of God's children have gifts, and all of God's children have a call. Having then gifts differing, so your gift is different than my gift. So we shouldn't compare one another. Amen. We shouldn't compete with one another, belittle one another, or ourselves. We shouldn't, you know, try to be anybody else other than who God created you to be. Having then gifts, he's talking to the church at Rome. He's talking to the body of Christ. You have gifts differing, but watch this, according to the grace. So let's pull out the word gifts. Let's pull out the word grace. So with your gifts comes a call. But with your call comes grace. I couldn't stand before you here for 40 years without the grace of God on my call. I couldn't do what I'm doing, leading a church into new frontiers and new levels and new territory and where we've never gone before. Church is never like it's ever been before without the grace of God. The good news is you've got grace for your race. You got to learn how to tap into that grace. So with the gifts, thank you, Lord. Lord, please let this penetrate. Please let this be a sermon they'll remember for the rest of their life. Please, God, let this be a turning point for many people that are frustrated, confused, irritated, agitated, envious, and jealous. God, set them free today. Gifts, so gifts reveal my calling, and with my calling comes the grace of God. Let us then use them. Three words, gifts, grace, use. Gifts, grace, use. Gifts, grace, use. We have our God is for you classes every Sunday at 11 o'clock or on demand online. Take it any time to help you discover your gift. And when you do, then we show you how to use it in the church, called Dream Team, or in the community. We'll show you how to use it. Wow. Somebody said, if you don't use it, you lose it. I think, you know, we can't lose it, but we lose our happiness, our fulfillment, and our influence on this earth. So gifts, grace, use. And then he begins to list seven motivational gifts. I'm not going to read them today, but it starts here with prophecy. And there's a list now through verse 8, and these are called the seven motivational gifts. Everybody under the sound of my voice today and the weeks, the months, and years to come who listen to this sermon, you have one or two of those gifts. We'll help you find them in our God is for You classes. So we are responsible to, number one, discover them. We are responsible. Number two, to develop them. We are responsible to discover them. And then number two, to develop them And then number three, to use them, not set on them, distribute them. That's our part. We have to do our part for God to do his part. Okay? So the results when we discover them and then we spend the rest of our life getting better at them and using them, it's like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the bigger and the stronger. It's like your gift. The more you exercise it, the bigger and the stronger that it gets. So our results is why you should listen to me today. It will bring you happiness. Happiness. And everybody that I know is looking for happiness. Number two, fulfillment. Fulfillment. Why should you listen to me today to the end? Because I can show you how to live a fulfilled, not frustrated life. And number three, influence. We all want to make a difference. We all want to live a life worthwhile. We all want to be significant. We all want to leave a legacy and an impact. We all want to do that. So how do we do that? Number four, an internal reward. These are the results. An eternal reward. Ooh, I really like this one. Look what C.S. Lewis said. C.S. Lewis said, people with the greatest impact in this world think about the next, think about the most of the next world. People with the greatest impact in this world think about the most of the next world. C.S. Lewis. They have an eternal mindset. Now, we're talking now. We left off last weekend with this. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Can you say that with me, please? The judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian will be there, okay? The sinner will be in the great white throne judgment. There's two. But the Christian will be at the judgment seat of Christ, not getting judged for our sin. We've been forgiven, but we'll be judged for what we did. Did we use our gifts or did we ignore them and neglect them? So we are confident, yes, well pleased. Rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no purgatory. There's no in the ground. There's no waiting room. Thank God. Immediately, you're in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, because of that eternity, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to please God. We're God pleasers because we have an eternal mindset. For we must all means all, every Christian, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Right there it is. That each one of us, no one's left out, front to back, young, old, black, white, brown, rich, poor, every Christian, that each one may receive the things done on this earth according to what you've done, whether good or bad. Knowing this, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're soul winners. But we are all well known to God, and also I trust all well known in your conscience. 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. Now, really look at this one. This is awesome. Look to yourself. Have an honest evaluation. Look to yourself. Do I know my gift? Am I using my gift? Am I developing my gift in the church and in the community? Look to yourself. Take care that you may not lose. I can lose my reward or throw away or destroy all the ushering I've done. All the time in the nursery, the children, the youth, the parking lot, the men's ministry, all that I've done. I can lose all that I've done serving at Church on the Rock on the Dream Team. Yes, if I've done it with the wrong motive. If I've done it with the wrong motive, it's wood, hay, and stubble. I'm going to heaven, but all that work's burnt up. But if I do it with the right attitude and the right motive behind it, then it's precious silver, gold, and metals, and it goes with me into the next world and will determine my role, my responsibility, and my reward in the worlds to come. So look to yourself, wake up, that you may not lose, throw away all that you've labored for, but that you may persevere until you win. We don't quit until we win. and receive back, look, a perfect, full reward. So that means that I can get a partial reward, a little bit of what I could have got, a small portion of what I could have got. You and I have heard this, if you've been in the church, God has a warehouse in heaven, and there's a whole bunch of stuff up there waiting for you and me as a result of our good works with the right motive in serving in the church, in the community. Notice, I want, you want, as your shepherd, as your pastor, I don't want you to get up there and say, Pastor, why didn't you teach us? I could have had all of that, but I just got a little bit of this. Thankful I'm not in hell. Boy, I could have had all of that for eternity. That's why I've been teaching on this series. That's why when I started this series a month ago, I said, I think it's the most important series I've done all year. So let me give you, in closing, 7 ways to discover your gift. 7 ways to discover your gift. Everybody still with me? Okay. So number one, you have to say yes to God. A lot of people are running from God, don't have time for God, don't want God, don't want to do anything other than their own selfish interest. It's all about them. Psychologists tell us that the average human being thinks about themselves 85% of the time of a day. Psychologists, this isn't spiritual. Psychologists tell us that the average human being spends 24 hours, 85% of it, thinking of themselves. Wow. So how do I discover my gift? I say, yes, God, I want to know what it is. Yes, God, I want to know why I'm here. You know, I love this. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask, seek, and knock. You ever thought of that? Ask, seek, and knock. Say yes to God. Ask, seek, and knock. Look at the acrostic of that. Ask starts with a letter. Seek starts with a letter. You guys are smarter than the 11 o'clock service. And knock starts with, and what's that spell? Ask. So you ask and you keep on asking. And God said you'll eventually find out. So I got to say yes to God. You know, I didn't say yes to God until Kim and I were married for a couple years. We got married in 73, and in 75, I finally said yes, God. I wanted to do my own thing, be my own person, and have my own dreams. And I found out that wasn't working for me. It wasn't working for us. And finally, my whole life changed. And I'm at the end of my life now, and I'm so glad that in 1975, I finally said, yes, God. Yes, God. That's all he's asking for. And so number two, then seek God diligently. Seek God diligently. The diligent discover their destiny. The diligent, that was worth church. The diligent, I want to know what I'm supposed to do. Then it's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take persistence. It's going to take continuing. It's going to take faithfulness. Seeking God diligently. The diligent discover their destiny. The diligent discover their destiny. Not the lazy, not the comfortable, not the lukewarm, but the diligent. And then number three, how do I discover it? Self-evaluation. Self-evaluation. I got to begin to ask myself some questions. We started off this series by saying, don't do what you're passionate about. Do what you're gifted for. Now, I know there's a lot of motivational speakers say, do what you're passionate about. But you don't want to be led by what you're passionate about, because you can be passionate about it and not good at it. Hello? You know, you've all heard my illustration, you know. I love guitars and drums and music, and I'm passionate about that. I love, you know, to mess around on the guitar. I loved Kim and I, we started that way back. I took guitar lessons when we were youth pastors in Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University. I took lessons, and can you believe it? I actually led in the college group worship, and I used and played a guitar. Can you believe that? Pray for them that as of now, they're still alive serving God. Amen. Because I was passionate about it, but terrible, not gifted. Okay. So how do I discover my gifts? Self-evaluation. What's that mean, Pastor? What am I good at? Ask yourself the question, what are you good at? What are you good at? What are you good at? Well, Pastor, I want to start a church. Can you run a small group? Well, no, nobody will come to my small group. Well, then you're not called to be a pastor. Pastor, I want to be a children's pastor. I just can't stand kids. What am I good at? Ask yourself, what are you good at? Not what do you like to do, but what are you good at? What comes natural? What flows or what is natural? Self-evaluation. What am I good at? What flows? What comes natural? What just comes natural? What just flows? This is self-evaluation. Number three, where do I get results? Well, Pastor, I want to be a leader. Is anybody following you? If they're not following you, then you're not called to be a leader. You're called to be second in command or serving on the team, which both are just as important in their calling. I used to do a teaching. We used to have all the staff listen to it when I hired them, called Second and Satisfied. Second and Satisfied. So where do you get results? Where do you get fruit? Where is there increase? Where is there growth? Is what you're doing growing? Where do you get results? Self-evaluation. Am I helping anybody today? Team's coming out right now. Number four, this is huge, y'all. Learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I told you in this study, in these 4 weeks, that the Holy Spirit is the one of the Trinity that reveals the plan that God has for you. The Holy Spirit. That's why you want to be filled with the Spirit. And you know, at the end of every service, we have a prayer line. Every service. And you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can get born again. You can get prayed for at the end of every service. But you learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the plan of God in your life. And then number five, how to discover my gift. Start serving where you are. You know, I gave the illustration last Sunday in the 11 o'clock service that Governor Mike Huckabee, Arkansas governor who ran for presidency, he's on John Bevere. You know, John's one of our speakers. He endorsed my book, John Bevere. He's on John Bevere's board, Governor Mike Huckabee. And John said that Governor Huckabee is faithful in his local church and serves on the dream team in the parking lot. Ran for presidency, governor of Arkansas. Look at all of his influence. And every Sunday, John said, you'll find him in the parking lot, being a parking lot minister attendant out there. You start serving where you are. You've heard me say it for 40 years. God can't steer a parked car. Got to get moving. Number six, stay planted in a local church. Stay planted in a local church. Well, I don't need a local church to get born again. You're right. You are right. You can get born again in the bar, casino, club, neighborhood, park. You can get born again any place. But you need the local church to grow. You can't grow on your own. Because we need brothers and sisters to help us grow. We call them brother and sister sandpaper. They rub the rough edges off of you and me. Church is a lab. If I can't get it to work in church, then why would the world want what I've got? So you stay planted in a local church, and that's Psalm 92, 13, 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. I like that. We have that in our North Campus on the wall. Put it there 30 years ago. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit when they become senior citizens. They will be fresh, not bitter, not calloused at the end of their life, because they were planted in a local church. They'll bear fruit in their old age, and they'll be fresh, and they'll be flourishing. Number seven, how to discover my God-given gift is an attitude of gratefulness. Gratefulness opens doors. Attitude of being thankful. Thank you, Father, for another day to serve you. Thank you for another opportunity to live for you, to serve you. An attitude of gratefulness opens doors. Being thankful, being respectful. Not a whole lot of that in our culture today. And last but not least, I want to encourage you, another way to discover your God-given gift, and you won't hear me talk about it anymore for a while. We were doing this on this series. We have connectors, connection people in the lobby, is go through our God is for you classes. Pastor, I went through that 3 or 4 years ago. We change it every year. We change it every year. And there's something about fresh information, fresh revelation, that the person I was 3 years ago, I'm not that person today. The person I was a year ago, I'm not that person today because I'm going through different stuff. It's called transition. And with that, let me end with this. I believe in you. I love you. I need you. You are important. You are uniquely gifted. God has a call for you. And I want to stand in agreement that God's best will be yours. Amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.